We've been looking at the names of God. The names of God are not just fancy titles. They're not just declarations about him. They are attributes of his character, his personality. So we look at these compound names of God as we started last week, Yahweh Yireh, or as you know, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. It means that God is in the provision business. He's in the business of provision. We're going to keep on going and look at another one this morning. I want you to understand and know that God truly is worthy of these names. These names are more than just a description. It is actually his character. You'll turn to Exodus chapter 15. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, I thank you for your word. It's living, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. As we read about it, Father, we glean and understand and become more aware of who you are, of what your nature is like. Father, as we've been studying these names of God, I pray that they would get into our spirit, man, and help us to see you in ways that we've never seen you before. Yahweh Rapha, we thank you that you are a healer, that healing is who you are. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch minds and hearts and bodies alike this morning as we open your word and study just what this name means. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yahweh Rapha or Rafika, Jehovah Rapha, as you may know it, is the Lord who heals. Exodus chapter 15 gives us the story of the song of Moses. The Israelites had just crossed through the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his chariots had pursued them. The Lord closed the sea back up over them. They were all drowned. They celebrate in this great song. The horse and riders thrown into the sea. I'm not going to sing that for you this morning. They're celebrating this great provision and victory of God. They went 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and they apparently forgot what God was able to do. Let's pick up at verse 22. It says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea," or literally the Reed Sea, "and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah," which means bitterness. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink, Mo?" Your version might not have Mo there. "Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet." Max Lucado said it this way, "Their jubilation over liberation soon becomes frustration over dehydration." Here they come to this place where the waters are bitter. They could not drink them, and without water, there's no life. So they begin to complain out of their helplessness to Moses. I was taught in elementary school from Mr. Steinberg. It's about an 85-year-old man, I've spoke of him before, who would come to chapels once a week and do his little flannel board presentation and share gospel stories. His phrase that we all knew by heart was, "God hates complaining." He would often say that. And here Israel, grumbling and complaining to Moses. Moses cried out to the Lord, Yahweh. And Yahweh told Moses what to do. He said, "Throw that tree into the water, and the waters will become sweet." Now, I believe because of Moses' obedience, that this symbolic branch was, as it was thrown into the water, caused a true miracle. But for any of you skeptics in the room, it's quite beside the point whether or not this branch had some particular ability or some sort of pollen that was sweet and changed the water. The point is, God still healed the water. God is able to heal with a branch or without, but I personally believe it was a true miracle. I want you to understand this morning as we get started that God is able to heal with medicine or without. He is the Lord that heals. That said, I would like to point out the fact that this account specifically outlines that Moses turned toward God. He didn't turn to the doctors. He didn't turn to his own strength and wisdom and say, oh, here's a tree, maybe this will work. He didn't pull out his phone and start Googling what to do. He turned to the Lord. There's a sad and strange verse in 2 Chronicles 16:22. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that it's wrong to seek doctors. I am saying that it is wrong to put doctors above God. And I would even go as far to say that we should be like Moses and turn to God first and foremost. I think many of us have the reaction when there's disease or something wrong to rush to the doctor, call and make an appointment, and then on the way, maybe we pray. Or maybe after we get the update from the doctor, well, he diagnosed me with influenza, I better post a prayer or put a prayer request out on the church website. But I believe a better principle would be, God, I'm not made whole. May I seek you, touch my body, heal me. Now again, I don't want anyone to feel ashamed or I'm speaking down to you for turning to doctors. God gets the glory, the praise, and the credit. He is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. But I would be remiss if I did not point out that Moses did turn to God first. Verse 25b, the rest of this verse, it says there, he, God, made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and do what is right in the sight and give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, Yahweh, Rapha. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water, 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the water. Notice here, as opposed to last week, Abraham worshiping the Lord on Mount Moriah, God provides a sacrifice, and the place is known as Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. As God provides, Abraham names that place, the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it, literally. But here I want you to notice that it's God himself that gives himself this name. God has declared himself, I am Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. And what is actually said is stronger than I am God who heals. It actually is this. Healing is what I am. If you were to look at the Hebrew, we know that Yahweh is the I am that I am, the existing one. So in Hebrew, God is declaring himself, healing is my nature. Now, did you notice as God is speaking to the Israelites, he seems to change the subject. They're focusing on dehydration. God comes and says, if you obey my commands, I'm not going to give you the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. Interesting segue, isn't it? God is talking about all these things in which they suffered, and he gives the Israelites a way to avoid these conditions. God tells the people that he can heal them, but they need to obey. What is happening in this situation, and we'll come back to this, is that the healings that takes place in this water is pointing to something greater than just the waters becoming sweet. See, most people read the benefits in God's word, but they fail to read the conditions attached to them. Oh, God is our healer. Yes, he is. But read the rest of the verse. If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God, or I am the Lord your healer. Now, I'm not saying you're sick because you're sinning. I think the account of Job covered that quite clearly, but I'm trying to make a point. If you want God's blessings, you must meet his conditions. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Oh, God's going to heal our land. Great. If my people will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. This is what the children are doing. They must have thought, isn't it fantastic to have all these benefits? Our clothes aren't wearing out. Our sandals aren't wearing out. Look at all this stuff God's going to give us. Water that's sweet. God says, healing is my name, but there's conditions. See, this word Rapha, I want to just look at it a moment. It's a very interesting word in Hebrew. For example, it's sometimes translated by the word mend. It means to stitch things together. God is able to mend. He's able to stitch up holes. It comes from the etymology of this word and its old Hebrew roots. Apparently, you don't have to take my word for it, but this is what I read. Somebody smarter than me and studied a whole lot more than me. So this comes from weavers when they were repairing a garment. They would put this garment out on a line and they would attach these clips with rocks to the bottom of it to weigh it down and stretch it taut. They would put a stick in between these threads to kind of stretch them out, and they would pull one out and put another thread in and replace it. This is how the garments were repaired from old threads. And as they would do this, they would stretch the stick in and pull this yarn out and stretch the stick back the other way and slide it down. It would kind of move these rocks back and forth. And apparently it made a sound similar to Rapha, Rapha, as they would work, and they would get quite good at this. There would be quite a rhythm. So that's the thought, is that this word is actually taken from the sound that was made of to stitch and to mend. It contains the idea of fixing something up, not creating something new. The Hebrew word bara means to create something new, but God doesn't say, I'm the God who's going to make new. He says, I'm the God that's going to mend and heal and repair and stitch and fix. See, because in the first one, something new is made. There's a day when that will be true. But in the second, something has been added to the old. And I think rather than just give us new body, wouldn't that be great for a new body? Linda wants a new body. About 23 years old, right? While we're making requests, Lord, if we could. But see, God wants to keep your experiences. God wants to use what he's already given to you because it was made very well. It was made perfect and good in his likeness. But he says, I'm going to add, I'm going to fix and repair and mend what I've given you. I'm not going to replace it. But the word has this idea of curing, and of course, as we've already noticed, healing. I believe God is able to make whole, and really that is the meaning of the word, I am the Lord that makes whole. I believe God is able to take a body with a wasted limb, and he's able to restore it perfectly and immediately whole. Again, let's look at a couple examples of the way this word is used. Genesis chapter 50, verse 2. Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, so the physicians embalmed Israel. The word physician is the word there, Rapha. It's translated that way in English as physician. It's the context is of embalming, or you might say it this way, that God is the God that can preserve you. He can, as this context looks, he can perform a work on your spirit to preserve you to do his work and his function and his job and his purposes. He can perform a work on your spirit to make you persist until he is done with you. He is the embalmer. He is the Rapha, the physician. 2 Kings 2:22 says, so the waters have been purified to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Purified, that's the word Rapha. God can take the dirtiest of water, he can take the dirtiest of things, and he can cleanse them. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. God is better than bleach. Jeremiah 33, 6 and 7 says, "Behold, I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them. I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel, and will rebuild them as they were at first." You'll notice this word in verse 6, heal. That's the word Rapha. And it speaks of prosperity. When we say that God is the God who's able to heal, we're not limiting our thinking just to the healing of a sick body. We are also thinking about the God who is able to bring prosperity into a life that has only known poverty and distress. That's the context here in Jeremiah 33. 1 Kings 18:30. "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down." Any guesses on what the word might be that is Rapha? Repaired is correct. It's the same word, Rapha. God is able to repair things that have been broken down. How many lives have been broken down? God is able to repair those lives. Psalm 147, 3. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. He heals, Rapha, the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. Isn't it amazing how much comfort there is in binding up a wound? For any of you that have experience with children or little one, you know how much a little Band-Aid can do to make things feel all better. I have young children, and I'm not much for comfort. It's not in my nature. I guess I'm not a sensitive, good father. Children know not to come to me because what they're going to get is, oh, toughen up, run along. Mommy! So they run to mom. Oh, what a little Band-Aid on the knee will do. Instantly takes away all the pain, doesn't it? Those things are amazing. Oh, how those tears flow. But when I talk to them and say, oh, run along, you're fine, that doesn't stop the tears. But if you pick up that one, you put a Band-Aid on him, you kiss him between the eyes, those tears stop flowing. Why? The binding up of a wound. This is our Father. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. Psalm 103, a verse that you would certainly recognize. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." Who what? Pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. Forget none of his benefits. What are the benefits? What's the verse say? The passage say? You can turn there if you need to. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits." I believe a benefit is that he pardons all of our iniquities. I believe a benefit of the Lord is that he heals all of our diseases. Verse 4, I believe a benefit is that he redeems our life from the pit. I believe a benefit found in God is he's the one who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Verse 5 says he satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. God the Father, one of the benefits we have in Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus in God the Father, is that he heals all our diseases. That's the word Rapha. We've looked at this word from a number of different angles, and we could spend a long time looking at examples through the Word of God in the Old Testament, but very simply and very literally, it means that God is able to heal all of our wounds. He's able to heal all of our diseases. He's able to heal all of our sins. He's able to repair our brokenness. He's able to take away all of our tears and replace our distress and poverty with prosperity. God is able. He is Yahweh Rapha. In Numbers chapter 21, there's a situation when God was giving the Israelites manna from heaven. In their rebelliousness, they start complaining again. Thanks for the meat, Lord, but we really wanted filet mignon. They forgot that God was Yahweh Yireh. He was the one supplying their needs. They started complaining and begging for some of their wants. And as judgment against the people for their sin, God sends these adders, these poisonous serpents, all into the camp, and people are getting bit. They're beginning to die. Moses cries out to the Lord, God, please have mercy on your people. God says, okay, make a serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on a pole. I want you to raise it up in the middle of the camp, and whoever looks at it after they've been bit will not die. God is teaching the people something about faith. See, it is totally illogical to think that looking at a bronze image of a serpent could heal. That is exactly what God told them to do, and it took an act of faith to look at that and to believe for that person to be healed. And as soon as they look, that serpent on a stick, they were healed. See, because that serpent is a symbol, a reminder of their sin and suffering. If you were to fast forward to the New Testament in John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus indicated that that bronze serpent was a foreshadowing of him. The serpent which represented sin and judgment was lifted up on earth and put on a tree, a symbol of a curse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And just as the Israelites were to look at the brass serpent hanging on a pole, we are to look at the Son of Man lifted up on a tree and believe in faith and receive our healing. See, all healing, whether physical in the desert, whether spiritual, looking at Jesus Christ, comes from the Lord. Amen. The healing does not come from an evangelist. It doesn't come from your pastor. It doesn't come from a particular church or a particular ministry or a particular healing how-to theory. It comes from Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts chapter 3. The healing is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. He is Yahweh. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. Healing is his name. In this portion of Scripture, Peter and John are going up to the temple. The ninth hour, the hour of prayer, verse 1. A man who had been lame from his mother's womb was carried along. They used to set him every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg of alms those who are entering. Verse 3, Peter and John, about to go into the temple, began asking, he was asking them to receive alms. Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Walk. Seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood up and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him being the one which they used to sit at this beautiful gate of the temple and beg alms. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you've delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he has decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murder to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses, the basis of faith in his name, It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. The faith which comes through him has given him his perfect health in the presence of you all. And faith in Jesus Christ, in his name alone, there is healing found. I'd love to be like Peter. I'd love to be like John. I'd love to be like Paul. They never took credit for any healing that was done. It was all in the power of Jesus Christ. They were the vessels. They were the hands. They operated with the authority that was vested in them. Where did the authority come from? Well, Jesus Christ gave it as he ascended to heaven to Peter and put it on the hands of the church. But it was not through Peter's own power that this man was healed. He simply tapped into God's power by the authority vested in him. Jesus Christ is the source of all miraculous power, not simply because he performed miracles on earth, but because from heaven he gave the power through which Peter was simply the channel. There's a difference between power and authority. We've given lots of analogies of those in the past. No one has power to heal but Jesus. But we do have the power to exercise the authority through Jesus. We have the power to decide, and thence we have the authority to use his power. Sickness, as you remember, was not part of the world, the natural world as we know it. It's not how God created things. It entered in as a result of man's sinfulness when Adam fell. Not only was death a consequence, but every impurity, sickness, and disease was unleashed on the human race. And when Christ died on the cross, his work did not just secure salvation from the penalty of sin, but also the healing for the believer. But I want you to understand that healing is not an end in itself. John chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said to a man, he said, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well. He picked up his pallet and began to walk. And Jesus, to avoid attention, slipped through the crowd. The Pharisees were asking him, "Who healed you?" "I don't know. I didn't even see it happen so fast." The man didn't even know. "What? How can you be carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Who told you that?" Verse 14 later, we find that Jesus reconnected with him in the temple, and he said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." As I said, healing is not an end in itself. But Jesus comes to this man. In other words, he says to him, "I have sought you out to tell you the point of what I did. I healed your body so that I could heal your soul. I healed your consequences of sickness and pain so that you could be conquered, or that your sin could be conquered." Jesus had one aim, and that was to heal the soul of this man. None of the physical miracles of Jesus were an end in themselves. They all point to something more about him, about his nature, about the kingdom of God, and about the spiritual and moral transformations that he is working. When he fed the 5,000 a few loaves and fish, that was not hard work for him. But the point was that he was the true bread of heaven. In John 6:26, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Jesus was answering a question and saying, why are you pursuing the things of the physical? Don't you understand that I've come to give you provision in the spiritual realm? I've provided a miracle to point you to my character. I've done a great work among you for your body so that your souls could be saved. See, they missed the spiritual sign. They missed the character of the miracle. They only saw the physical shell. What's the point? Well, when God declares himself, "Healing is my name," or Yahweh, Rapha, I want you to know something. Yes, God loves to heal. It's not hard for him. It's whether physical, emotional, mental, and it's not only to benefit us this side of eternity, But God, I believe, heals because he's pointing to something greater than the physical manifestation. He's pointing to reveal that he is the healer, not just of the physical realm, but also of the spiritual. And I believe it's God that desires to do miracles in this body and all throughout the New River Valley in Blacksburg, not just to bring physical freedom from diseases, but so that we would have spiritual freedom from sin. Unfortunately, some people teach that healing is only for the believer. I believe that healing is one of those signs that's to accompany the believer, to be one of our most effective evangelistic tools. That as we would walk under the power of the Holy Spirit throughout the community, people would be healed and have no reason to deny the existence of God and a supernatural power. God's healing is a desire. God desires healing for our community, and I believe the world, but he's more interested in the spiritual healing. Yahweh Rapha. He's our restorer. He's our healer, not only of the physical illness, but of the hurts in our hearts and our souls. When we are emotionally overwhelmed, when we're depressed, we're anxious, we're grieving or distressed, God is not only here for us, but he is our healer. Only God can repair a broken heart. Only God can purify an unclean soul. Only God can set us free from addiction. Only God can heal us of sin. The scriptures tell us that 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his, you were healed. Notice the tense here, the verb tense. Jesus Christ has healed everybody that could be healed. 2,000 years ago on the cross, by his wounds or his stripes, you were healed. It is finished. It is done. We pray not that God would necessarily heal, but a better prayer would be that God would release the healing that has already been purchased and paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. What an irony. We're talking about God the Father binding up the wounds. But Peter says, by his wounds, we were healed. See, it took the greatest wound of all so that not only sin, but all of our physical ailments and diseases could be delivered. God the Father was literally wounded. And through that wounding, purchased our healing, not just of the physical, but also of the spiritual. But why did he do it? I believe the main focus or emphasis is that we would come to see him as the only way to be saved. I also don't believe that God likes to see us suffer. He wants us to understand his nature and his character, and we'll get to that in other names. But know this, God delights to heal. He doesn't say, I'm the God who's able to heal. He says, healing is my name. Come to know me as the one who loves to heal. God heals because it's his nature. So what is a believer supposed to do if they get sick? Well, the Bible gives pretty clear instructions in the book of James chapter 5. He says, if anyone is among you sick, he must call the elders of the church. They are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. I want you to notice something in this passage. While it's good for a pastor to be on his toes and be aware of sickness in the congregation, guess what? It's really the responsibility of the congregation or the believer individually to call on the elders. Now, I'm not suggesting that the pastor can't reach out to somebody who's sick, but many people believe that the pastor's such a, I don't know what it is, so tapped into the Holy Spirit, he's supposed to just be aware of everything that happens. You know what? I'd like to give you a modern translation of James 5. Call somebody and ask for them to pray for you. Maybe you're struggling with physical pain. God can heal that. Maybe you're struggling with emotional pain. This morning, God can heal that. Maybe you're struggling with relational pain. God can heal that. Maybe you're struggling with mental pain. God can heal that. Perhaps you're feeling torn. I want you to know that God can stitch you back together. Perhaps you're feeling like you're wasting away. God can preserve you. Perhaps you're feeling poor and distressed. Well, God is here to tell you that He can prosper you. Maybe you're feeling brokenhearted. I want you to know that God can put you back together. This is what the Word teaches about healing. Psalm 41:3, Yahweh will sustain him on his sickbed in his illness. You will restore him to health. Psalm 107:20, He sent out His word and healed them. Isaiah 58:8, Your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Jeremiah 17:14, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Jeremiah 30:17, For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6, Behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. Remember this morning that nothing that causes pain or suffering or turmoil or distress or anxiety or fear can withstand the healing touch of Jesus Christ.